So in speaking about Greek and Chinese philosophy, how would you say each of these cultures interpret the kind of phrase of how to achieve and practice a good life?
I think this is something common to both Greek and Chinese views about the good life. It is an activity. It's not just an attainment. It's not something you reach and then you can stop and rest on your laurels. It requires practice. It requires cultivation. It's something that is learned throughout life. And so even though I think the Greek philosophers, I'm not sure about the Chinese, but the Greek philosophers had an idea of the perfection of that good life, I don't think that they really thought anybody attained it. They had these ideal characters like sages or wise people. The ordinary person would strive towards that as an ideal. So it's an activity, and it's an activity that you can progressively get better at and better at throughout life.
So happy to hear you say that, because philosophy as an activity is a basic assumption of Chinese philosophy as well. And what crystallizes the whole idea for me in Chinese philosophy is a person's orientation to the world. So the various thinkers in the Chinese tradition would think about the bigger cosmic world, the human world. So it's various points of orientation. And when you think about orientation, basically it attunes you to very, very practical questions, very practical considerations.
And speaking about practicalities, what are some of the methods that each practice outlines when dealing with things like conflict or difficulties and doubt?
Within the Chinese tradition, there are at least a couple of strands. One of the most dominant ones is to promote very clear standards for human behavior, the sorts of ideals perhaps that Rick was talking about earlier, very clear standards for human behavior, very clear standards, for instance, in the Confucian tradition, about particular roles, about being best fathers or wonderful sage kings. And then there's the other strand, which is commonly what you might associate with a Taoist tradition. There's more resistance to the imposition of standards for human behavior, more emphasis on spontaneity.
And I think there's some differences here between Chinese and Greek philosophy, at least in emphasis, because if you think about conflict and difficulties first, most of the Greek philosophers, the ancient Greek philosophers, think that the method that you're going to use to deal with conflict and difficulty is reason. And that instead of thinking about standards right away, they sort of think, well, reason is going to identify for us how to resolve the conflict, how to resolve the difficulty. And they have this tremendous, you might say, sort of hyper faith in the value of reason to deliver an outcome in this way. That just seems to me really characteristic of the Greek philosophers. And I like their emphasis on reason, but I think they overstate it.
Oh.
But the last point you also asked about doubt, and I think this shares a little bit with some of the Taoist philosophy. The Greek skeptics especially embraced doubt. Doubt was something to be admitted. Doubt was something we knew that we didn't ever fully resolve our questions. And so doubt was something to be embraced in a good life. Right? It's something like living according to a kind of orientation to the world in which doubt is fundamental.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, these philosophical ideas originated over, 2,000 years ago. Why do you think it is that people still so greatly admire Chinese and Greek traditions and philosophy?
I'd like to tip that question around to not ask why do people still admire, but really to understand that many of our current ideas, the ideas that we hold dear, really have come to us from, when ancient Chinese philosophy and ancient Greek philosophy were expressed. They're still very much embedded in our beliefs and in our practices.
I agree with that. And I also think that they remain and have remained attractive. I think we're talking now by Zoom and from our homes and in a kind of situation that most of us never imagined we'd be in, but one which causes us to reflect on the most basic and most meaningful values that we have. And I think it's no accident that at times when we reflect that way, we often return to ancient Greek or ancient Chinese ideas about life. I mean, these philosophies were fundamentally practical philosophies. They were philosophies about how to live. They're not so much like a philosophy that's about a theoretical understanding as it is about a practical one. And so it's not a surprise to me that we return to ancient Greece or to ancient China in a time like this.
Absolutely. I think that that is a wonderful note to leave it on. I wish we didn't have to. I wish we had more time, but unfortunately we will have to leave it there. Rick, Karen, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks. Yeah.
Pleasure.